we always hear is Google or Meta, where do you start? It's different for every business, but the way I like to think about it is if you sell a product or a service that people know they need, they're out there searching for, start on Google. You're gonna have the intent, they're already searching for it. You know that they wanna buy your particular product and you're just basically paying to get in front of people who are already pretty far down the bottom of the funnel. If you have the type of product that is either kind of an impulse purchase, like people didn't even know they wanted until they saw it, or something that takes a little bit of education.
Better Than Rich Show listener, Andy Janitis is on the show. And this is an episode that we've been looking forward to because Andy is an expert at Google and Meta ads. It's a very short, direct to the point masterclass and how you can do conversion tracking, how you can level up your Meta ads, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, Google ads. Really, really excited to bring this conversation, this topic to you because it's something that I know we're exploring internally, and that's why we wanted to bring him to you. He's also offering a free digital marketing strategy session. And personally, we're going to be taking him up on this as well. That's why we wanted to bring him to you. So he is the founder and chief strategist at PPC Pitbulls, where he helps 5- and 6-figure e-commerce brands simplify the world of digital marketing and find more sales online. He serves founder-driven brands through paid ads, email, and digital marketing strategy. So get ready for another great episode on the Better Than Rich Show with Andy Janitis. Welcome to the Better Than Rich Show with your hosts, Andrew Biggs and Mike Abramowitz. The Better Than Rich Show helps ambitious leaders who are on a mission to leave the world better than they found it, change their perspective on what's important, increase their income and impact, and systemize their life and business. If you've ever struggled with finding your purpose, have felt disconnected or distracted, or found yourself going through the motions, this show will remind you that what you do matters and will re-inspire you to chase your highest dreams. It's time for you to become better than rich. Welcome back to the Better Than Rich Show. I'm your host today, Mike Abramowitz, and I am here with Andy Janitis. Andy, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
I'm excited that we're able to have another expert at what they do because our listeners give us feedback and they love having someone who's an expert in something specific. And yours is so relevant to our listeners right now, and especially with digital marketing. So for those of you that have followed Andy, great. You already know you're in for a lot of great content. For those of you who have not met Andy before, he is an expert at simplifying the world of digital marketing and helping you find more sales online. So Andy, why don't we start with some of these differentiators, right? You have these small, medium brands, they're crushing it online. They're doing a great job. What are they doing different than others that are maybe not crushing it online? What would you say to this audience? What are some of the things that they could do right away that can help them increase their results immediately with some of these key differences?
That's awesome. I'm glad you asked. That's one of my favorite things to talk about because the truth is, you know, we work with a lot of these small to medium brands and we come in from an ad perspective and sometimes it looks like, you know, we get ads running, things are flowing, and just everything seems to work. Everything kind of starts growing. As long as we're following best practices, everything continues to grow. And then on the flip side of that, sometimes, you know, you go in, get your ads set up, everything set up to best practices, and really you just don't see that growth. And so we've spent a lot of time studying what's the difference between those two cases and what is the differentiator for the brands that are really working well and really humming along. We broke it down to a couple different points. The number one and the biggest thing is always measurement. So you've got to know what's happening in your business. You've got to be measuring, especially an online business, what's happening when a customer hits your page. So we think of it in terms of conversion tracking. But essentially, you need to know where the traffic is coming to your page from. And ultimately, for each type of traffic that's hitting your page, you know, are people purchasing? Are they not purchasing? If they're not purchasing, where are they dropping off in the cycle? That's the most important thing because one, that's going to help you to improve different things on your website, different ways to get more purchases. Once you're already driving traffic to the site, how are we going to make sure we're capitalizing on it? But even more important than that, it's a way to measure the success of any marketing that you put over the top of it. So if you're thinking about getting started with different digital marketing approaches, especially paid ads, number one thing is make sure you've got your website coded up so that you're measuring every single customer interaction that occurs once you hit the page and you understand what the outcome is once you start paying for these ads.
So a lot of people that follow me understand that I start ugly on a lot of things. We had Chris Kremetzos on the podcast talk about this too, where it's like a ready, fire, aim type of approach. If I'm hearing you right, that might not be a good idea if you don't have some of the website and where you're sending these people to. Correct me if I'm wrong on that one.
Yeah, I think too, some of the other things like what we call conversion rate optimization is what I kind of alluded to there, is in terms of really improving each individual piece on your site. That's something that I'd be a little bit more comfortable with. You know, hey, let's get launched. Let's just hit the ground running even before you have everything dialed in exactly how you like it, probably because you're going to learn something in the process. But that measurement piece, that is something that I think is kind of a non-negotiable, because you're not going to be able to learn anything if you're not sure what's happening when people hit the site. So just to give kind of an example around that, a lot of times we'll have people come in and say, hey, can you audit our ad account? This hasn't been working. We haven't been getting a ton of sales, but we've been paying a ton of money in these ads that somebody was running for us. And we get in there and go to check and we say, okay, first question is, you know, what's your conversion rate? Or what's your, we think of it as ROAS. So for every dollar you're investing, how many dollars back are you getting? And we go in the ad account and we look, and those measurements just aren't coming back in. So there's no data on that. So then we say like, oh, well, how did you even know whether you're performing well or not performing well? So obviously, you're putting money in and you see that your bottom line isn't going up. But the big question is, from the day that you flip on the ads, you've got to know, were you getting purchases from those ads or not? Otherwise, what are we doing here? How do you make those decisions and learn and improve?
It's a really good reminder, because the data tells a story and we need to know what the story says. Is it that the ad is not working, or is it the website, or are they clicking, but we're not, what's happening after they click? So there's a lot of different data points that we want to look at. And this is partially the reason why that here at Better Than Rich, I mean, we tested Facebook ads one little stint, but because we didn't have really good tracking or set up, it was just like, whatever, like our return on ad spend, the ROAS, well, we don't spend any money on ads. So it's like all organic, all warm advertising outside like our podcast production and some of that, but it's very, very minimal. But we want to spend money on ads. We want to go into the Google ad space. We want to go into the Facebook ad space. But because I don't feel like we have some of the tracking set up and some of the backend stuff set up, it's almost like that's a friction point for us. So if that's happening for us as a business that we really started getting things rolling 2022, let's say, so we're coming up on maybe about 2 years of us like really getting things going, what would you say to someone that's maybe at that stage in their business? Selfishly, I'm asking for me, but also for a listener who might be in a similar boat. What might you say to that person?
Yeah. So it really depends on what technical backend you're running. To get down into the weeds, if you have a completely custom website, you're probably going to need some help with it. From a tactical standpoint, we really like to use what's called Google Tag Manager. It's a free tool. Basically, it's a couple lines of code that you drop onto your page. And then from there, everything becomes drag and drop. So, hey, when somebody clicks this button, go ahead and fire an event. And we're tracking that as, you know, a conversion that occurred, essentially. Even at that, it is drag and drop, but it can still get a little bit complex, especially if you're not quite sure what you're doing. So I would definitely highly recommend, if you're in that case and you have a pretty custom backend or a custom website, that you are going out and finding help. That being said, if you're on a major platform, a lot of that may already happen for you. So if you're on Shopify, or we work with a lot of e-commerce, so Shopify, BigCommerce, there's going to be a Google Ads plugin that you can pop in and basically is going to get your Google Analytics, that's, you know, your main behavioral tracking, going, and will also connect that data back to Google Ads so that, you know, when an ad gets clicked, you're sending data back on what occurred on the website. So yeah, I would say if you're on a platform, just go ahead and check out, you know, Google Analytics, Google Ads tracking. What does that platform itself offer in terms of quick setup? Can I just drop in some codes? And is it really well documented to walk you through it? If you have a custom website, it's going to be a little bit more complex, and you're probably going to want to get together with a technical marketer or an agency that can help you with that.
And would this be the same for a landing page? If someone's just using a simple landing page that they're driving traffic to, say they built it on like a ClickFunnels or Squarespace or one of these?
Exactly. So it's the same boat. And again, I would just, those are going to be some additional platforms. Sometimes ClickFunnels, we've worked with in the past, can get a little bit hairy with certain tracking things. Squarespace too. They have those capabilities that you can basically just plug in your account ID from Google Ads or Google Analytics, but they don't always work quite as well as some of the other platforms I mentioned earlier. That's kind of the big challenge of it, is it's kind of a barrier to entry to get started. You mentioned it's kind of a friction point. And that is one of those areas where I probably would pay to get some help to make sure that it's tracking properly. If you're not familiar with it and you don't want to dig in and learn about it to get it figured out, because it is just such a foundational piece in really any of the marketing you're going to do moving forward.
And would you, and for someone that is listening and they say, oh, I got to pay to get things rolling, and this falls under their marketing spend because essentially they'd be hiring someone to support with them with marketing. Do you have a, we say 10% for lead gen as an example, like, is there like a metrics that you guide someone to that's a business owner to say, you probably want to invest this percentage of your overall revenue, or this is an idea of how much you might want to spend for your marketing. And also like this person that you might be bringing in to help you with the analytics side of it, you might want to consider this, maybe this amount for automations. But overall, I assume you might be taking from the marketing budget to put into the analytics tracking. Or do you suggest like a business owner say, hey, you could pull from a different department possibly as well? Like what would you say to that person that's thinking like from a financial side?
Yeah, it's tough to give one quick answer. The nice thing is most of the time, most, I would say, reputable agencies are going to be doing that conversion tracking for you. So if you're hiring an agency in to run paid ads, hopefully that's just part of the service. You shouldn't be necessarily paying an additional large scale fee for that. As far as kind of a percentage, it's going to be very different per business, really based on your margins, right? Because you first have to figure that out, is how much can you afford to pay on marketing and still make sure you're profitable for each purchase that's coming in. At a very, very rough benchmark, we often talk about 25% of kind of customer acquisition costs. This is on the e-commerce side and kind of revenue driven. So if you're bringing in 100K in revenue, you might be thinking that, hey, that's going to be about 25K in customer acquisition costs. And that's going to be the fees that you're paying directly to Meta or directly to Google. There's probably going to be management fees on top of that, which typically at that rate, maybe in the $2,000 to $3,000 a month range to manage those ads. As you kind of grow and get more complex setups, that monthly fee is going to go up, obviously.
Okay. So we want to keep it super simple, because I'm in elementary school right now, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. So I'm trying to pull out of you the questions that I might be asking, because some people that are listening to the show, they're like, Mike, you really need to study up on some of this stuff. Like, you're way behind the times. But that's why I pay some other people on our team to like know some of this stuff. Or so there's other members on our team that are designed to know this, so I don't need to. But at the same time, it's like, I want to be able to guide people. I want to help other individuals. So if a business is using our same example, where it's like, I know we want to do some cold traffic, Meta versus Google to start, why? And if I start there, then where's my starting place? Is it getting clearly defined on who the avatar is that we're going to market to? Then is it, this is the message we want to send to that avatar? And then is it, this is where we want to send that person because it's this avatar, we want to send them to a landing page versus we want to send them to book a call, or we want to send them to message me directly, or depending on who the avatar is, depending on the message, depending on the offer. Like, that's where maybe there's chaos that comes into play. And then there's like, let's split test this. Let's try this image versus that image. You know, we had Philip Stutz on the podcast, and he did like presidential marketing campaigns for like George Bush and Donald Trump and Obama and like all these people. So it's like, we have all this information around us that it's like, I'm just going to do warm leads. Forget about this cold traffic stuff. So kind of exactly, go yeah. in any direction that you see fit there.
Yeah. So I think that you really hit on a big point there, is the overwhelm that a lot of brands that we work with feel, that there is so much out there, right? There's so much content about, like you mentioned, like split testing ads. That's just one very specific, very small piece. But you could listen to 10 podcast episodes on how to do that properly. And that's just one very small part of your marketing and how you're going to ultimately be successful. I just talked about measurement for 5 minutes, and that didn't even really touch at all on how you actually get that done and implemented. And again, I'm telling you, that's a really big foundational piece. So there's so much out there that you've got to get done, and so many different things that kind of make your head spin of like, okay, which direction do I go in first? The first and foremost, I always like to tell everybody is, okay, we're going to keep it simple. You could be successful getting started on Google Ads or Meta Ads, either or. I'll tell you a little bit in a second about how I would think about choosing either. But as you're getting started, I would not jump in and immediately try both, or, hey, let's try seven different campaign types on this platform or that platform. It's like, hey, let's get started, have a really simple setup, make sure we're measuring outcomes, and then find some profitability, find out what's working and double down on what's working and trade out things that aren't working.
What's the runway of time on that? Is it 30 days, 60 days, 90 days? Like, what's the time frame you give to see if something's working or not?
Yeah, I think a lot in Google Ads, we give it a little bit longer, and Meta Ads, you could probably make decisions a little bit more quickly. But in Google Ads, so kind of giving you a top line conservative estimate, you really should be seeing some level of results within 30 to 60 days. We have people come to us sometimes and say, hey, invested $15,000 and ran ads for 6 months and got nothing out of it. It's like, well, after month one, we got to be asking some questions here, you know, what's happening here. So yeah, I would say within the first 30 to 60 days, you should either be profitable or see very good trends in your data that show that, hey, we're getting more and more profitable and we should be getting profitable very, very soon here.
Cool.
So that's how I would time box that. As far as getting started, that's a big question we always hear is, Google or Meta, where do you start? It's different for every business, but the way I like to think about it is if you sell a product or a service that people know they need, they're out there searching for, start on Google. You're going to have the intent. They're already searching for it. You know that they want to buy your particular product, and you're just basically paying to get in front of people who are already pretty far down the bottom of the funnel. If you have the type of product that is either kind of an impulse purchase, like people didn't even know they wanted until they saw it, or something that takes a little bit of education. So maybe it's a product that, you know, people aren't familiar with. That's where Meta is going to be a little bit better because you're interrupting them in their feed as they're scrolling and you're starting to get that information in front of them. So it's a little bit higher top of funnel. They're not necessarily going to be quite as warm, going to convert quite as well as people who are already searching for your product. But for certain products and services, that's really where you have to start because people aren't searching for it right off the bat.
I heard recently on Ryan Moran's podcast, capitalism.com, he said TikTok is starting to like really starting to compete on in this space a little bit with their marketplace and their ads. Is that something that you're kind of like on the cutting edge of right now too? Or is that not a sandbox that you're playing with right now?
We're keeping an eye on it. And I think that's one of those big areas where that's kind of a differentiator for small to medium businesses, right? So yes, the short answer is TikTok is becoming really large. A lot of people are spending a lot of time there. So it makes sense. If you have the time and money to invest, get in front of people on TikTok. The big caveat there is as small businesses are starting out, that can be one of those things that can be kind of a distraction, you know? So we know that Meta and Google Ads are really core fundamental growth engines for most businesses that are working online and developing a lot of their sales online. So I think usually if you think that, hey, I've got X amount of marketing budget, I've got X amount of time to focus on this, I've got an agency that I can direct in one way or the other, 90% of the time for, say, your seven figures or less or low seven figure type business, you're probably going to be best maximizing what you can get out of Meta and Google first, and then go ahead and test something like TikTok. It is becoming big. And of course, if you have the space to invest in it, certainly something to test and check out. But I would say dollar for dollar and hour for hour, as you're getting started up, your time is probably going to be best spent maximizing the channels that are a little bit better known right now.
That's great. I appreciate that. Because the shiny object syndrome sometimes happens for business owners and they hear this, you know, oh, let me just go over there and let me try this new thing and try. But you're like, hey, there's some proven track records on these two. You might want to park some dollars here, unless you have a little bit of budget where you could risk a little bit and maybe there's some risk tolerance there.
Yeah. And once you know how your products perform, again, we're e-commerce focused. So if you know what are your top sellers, what are the ones that really work well on Meta ads, by that point, you know enough about your own products, you know enough about your own customer personas that, hey, maybe it is time to experiment and say, hey, can we get a little bit of extra growth on TikTok? And I've heard great things about TikTok shops right now. I think they're largely subsidizing a lot of the fees. So it is a cheap place for growth right now. But yeah, if you're at that point where you haven't really gotten started with any of this stuff, yeah, you can go play on TikTok for a little while. But my guess would be that you probably have a bigger fish to fry or lower hanging fruit to pick off first.
Cool. I wanted to go in this direction. You mentioned in your bio, you said paid ads, but also email and digital marketing strategies as well. when you hear this, or when I hear this, I'm thinking, is this like cold email? Is this warm email? Like, is this if I have a list, first I want to build my list and then I do it? Or is this like pull content from LinkedIn or buy these lists and then install some sort of email campaign strategy? Or maybe there's a mix of both. What do you mean by that just from your bio?
Yeah. So we focus primarily on, I guess, what you would call warm emails, so people that you already have developed some level of a relationship with. And we like to focus on that as kind of a retention arm, a way that once you're already bringing a customer in or a prospective customer, to nurture them and either get that first sale if they need some extra nurturing and warming up to that first sale, or when somebody is already a customer, to kind of maximize that long-term customer lifetime value. And the way we think about it, there's kind of two sides of this. One is automated flows. So that's where, for instance, in the e-commerce world, you can think, you know, an add to cart or an abandoned cart flow. So somebody came to your site, added an item to their cart, and ultimately went away, didn't make the purchase. So you can have an automated flow that will say, hey, did you remember? I'm sure you're familiar with this or have seen this in your day-to-day, that, hey, did you forget something? There's something left in your cart. And then if they don't come back after a few hours after that, you can say, hey, we're going to give you a 10% discount if you want to come back and buy this now. And then if they don't do something for a few hours after that, you can say, hey, we're going to clear out this cart in 24 hours. So make sure you come back now before your items are out of stock or something like that. That's just one example of the automated flows. But the idea there is touching customers in an automatic way in very specific life cycle stages. That person is at a particular point in your funnel where they're browsing your products. They have some level of interest. They've added it to the cart. So go ahead and reach them and have content that's really geared towards helping them through whatever that stage in their customer life cycle is. Another big one on the automated side would be like a refill type flow. So, hey, somebody ordered and you haven't seen them hit your site or haven't heard from them, and it's 3 months down the line or 1 month down the line, whatever, depending on what your specific product is. Now we'll have a flow to reach back out to them and say, hey, we haven't heard from you in a little while. Have you run out of that initial order that you made? Maybe it's time to refill and make another order and remain top of mind for them. So again, the idea there is just staying top of mind at specific points when you know something about them based on how they've already interacted with your business, making sure that you're giving them content that's really relevant to that very specific point in your relationship. On the other side is broadcast emails. And that's where I think you had mentioned there, like a newsletter or something where it's once a week, twice a week, depending on the business, you might even go to 3 times a week, where it's just keeping regular touch points, making sure that you're staying in touch with somebody, even if they haven't necessarily interacted with your business recently, making sure that they're feeling like they are learning more about your business, becoming a member of your community, and really nurturing that relationship there. So we think of those two pieces. And it's really important that those things, so we come at everything from a paid ads perspective, but the reason why we have that additional focus on something like email is because all these things work together. So if you're going to pay for an ad to drive traffic to your site, hopefully they make the purchase. If they don't, that's where now your automated flows kick in and make sure that you're maximizing the value that you got for that traffic that you already paid for on the paid ad side. Or, you know, hey, we paid to drive traffic to the site and we got a purchase and it was just break even profitable. So you'd say, well, that's not great, but I was able to competitively get that purchase because I was able to bid on the ad side. I was able to bid low enough that I was able to get that purchase in, and maybe it's profitable or it's just barely over break even, but now I can allow my automated flows or my regular broadcast emails to kick in and get additional purchases, really grow that customer lifetime value. And now it was break even when we acquired them, but we got more value out of that customer. So now it becomes very profitable. These things all kind of work together and fit together to hit one final outcome, which is profitability.
Where my mind goes is I think of this almost as like a big, big giant flow chart of if-thens, of if they click this, then it's like almost like a bunch of choose your own adventures. So where I think most small business owners might get overwhelmed is that means I need to premeditate all of the copy and the content and the scenarios for everything that might be happening in all of these if-thens. So therefore, fuck it, I'm not going to do any of this shit. This is way too much. What do you say to that person who might be experiencing or feeling that in this moment?
Yeah, keep it simple. Try something. Like you said, it's this giant tree of if-thens and all these different flowcharts. just start with an abandoned cart email or start with a welcome email. So, hey, somebody's made a purchase. Start with one email that goes out after they've made a purchase that just introduces yourself, tells them that you're happy that they're here and they're a customer, and gives some of the main selling points of your brand and your products. If that works, then think about adding maybe a couple extra emails to that initial flow, or hey, maybe add an abandoned cart email at that point, or a refill email that we mentioned at that point. It doesn't have to be all this super complex. We'll try all these other things. It's the same as people who say, hey, I'm getting started with Meta ads. You know, I need to try influencer marketing and carousel ads and product shopping ads. Like, no, just get started with one thing. Use your product data feed, run the simplest ads you can. If it works, double down on it and try some other things. If it doesn't work, turn it off and try something different. But it's very easy to get overwhelmed and not try anything, when in reality, the answer is just get started. Try one small thing first.
And that one small thing to start first, if I was going to take this, would be that first welcome sequence or that first initial email and that first if then, like at the very, very, very top, I assume. And then could you just build the airplane on the way down or the parachute on the way down type of thing?
Yeah, from an email perspective, I think that probably would be a great point, is to start out with, depending on your business. So if you're an e-commerce business, probably start with, hey, you've gotten a purchase. Let's start with a welcome flow that introduces the brand after that first purchase and kind of develops a little bit of a customer relationship. So 1 to 2 emails, things like the founder story, the main product differentiators, and maybe some social proof, some reviews. If you're a service-based business, that might be a little bit different because you probably already have a little bit deeper relationship. If you're working one-on-one with someone, you may still want to do that welcome email. But I think a big thing there is something like a free giveaway or an early tripwire to get somebody in. So can you create a simple PDF and make a single flow that's, hey, when somebody hits your site, if they're not ready to book that first call with you, go ahead and say, hey, download this free resource, you know, make sure it's a valuable resource, and then create a flow where you can capture their email and start to tell them a little bit about your business. I think those probably would be a good starting point. Think about the same way that when you walk into a store where kind of a salesperson might help you, where they're going to come in a little more back and forth when they're talking in person, but essentially get to know you and then start working through, here's the products or services that I have available to solve your problem. Digitally, we're really doing the same thing. It's just getting somebody from that initial kicking the tires, we're just becoming aware of this customer, down to the point where you've developed a level of trust where they believe you can solve their problem for them.
This is so good, Andy. And I'm sure a lot of this is probably like behind the paywall of a lot of what you do for your students and clients. So for you to share with our listeners, I really appreciate that. Before I take like a complete pivot in a different direction, is there anything else that you wanted to capture or share under the umbrella of paid ads, email, or digital marketing strategies that we didn't hit on yet?
No, I think we covered it all, did a lot of different things, but really to simplify it down, make sure you're measuring what's happening once people hit your site. Start simple. You don't need to do everything all at once. Try one thing, see how it works, double down, pivot, and continue growing from there.
Here's my pivot, because you piqued my interest, you piqued my curiosity. How did you get into this? What's the origin story of, were you just like this giant nerd sitting at your computer in like middle school, like learning all like digital marketing stuff? Or like, what's the origin story that you got such knowledge on this topic? You have my interest piqued.
I actually came into digital marketing a little bit later in my career. When I started out, I was in industrial engineering, was modeling and simulation. So I was working actually for government clients, writing simulations for different things. And at that point on the team, somebody needed to develop, as we were building these models and writing these simulations, basically an interface so that the whole team could kind of see the results. So from there, I kind of self-taught web development and, you know, had to figure out, okay, how do we develop a quick website where we can go and see the results of the analysis that we're running? From there, I kind of got deeper into web development, ended up getting more into a pure creative agency where we were doing website development and building out online personas for companies. And then from there, because I had that kind of technical back-end understanding, I was working with a colleague who was more on the marketing side himself and helping him with kind of some things where he would say, hey, I'm developing the marketing for this particular campaign, but I need somebody to come help me set up that tracking to make sure that I know what's happening when customers hit the website. So I started working with him on that. And ultimately, we broke off and started PPC Pitbulls from there. So yeah, it was just a happy coincidence that I found my way into the digital marketing space. But yeah, really kind of happy that it really flowed with a lot of the other kind of skills and things that I had done previous in my career.
That's cool. And with where you're going now, like with everything that you've established and everything you've built, what's the vision looking like moving forward beyond the now for you?
So we're really focused on working with these small to medium businesses. Earlier in my career, I started out working with government and then working with really large enterprises. And that was fun and solving really big problems. There's a lot of bureaucracy and not really getting to that personal interaction. You know, nobody could really make the decisions for different things that we were trying to get done. So what I've really enjoyed working in PPC Pitbulls is the personal relationships with our clients, where most of the brands we're serving, it's either founder driven or we're working with a marketing person who works directly with the founder and kind of understands that kind of level. So yeah, I think for me, it's just doubling down and finding a way to really support those types of businesses, helping them to grow in the space where a lot is really high level content that's out there that really only applies to these massive enterprises. So finding ways to kind of build more of this content around, you don't really need to be overwhelmed. There's a simple way to get started here. Let's find ways to just jump in and help your small business to grow.
That's cool, man. This is such a relevant topic for our audience and listeners because, again, this is not the sexy part of business by any means. It's not like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to talk about how to get my emails in order and how to attract more people to my business. But it's so needed because so individuals are like, oh, I want more leads. They sometimes just want the quick fix. What you're talking about is really, how can I add as much value, intentional value through a digital presence that's beyond just my warm network, that's beyond just my social media profile, or just beyond my warm email list that I already established. Is there anything else that I didn't ask you today that we didn't hit on? Because I do like to ask every guest three questions. I'm sure some people are going to take you up on your offer. Is there anything that we didn't hit on today that you're like, man, I really would like for us to jam on that a little bit?
No, I think we covered all the big things. Yeah, it was great.
Cool. Well, Andy, we'd like to ask every guest three questions. The first question is, what do you think the world needs most today?
So I mentioned just a second ago, kind of that interpersonal relationship. And that's what I love the most about what I do is getting to talk to people like yourself or the clients we work with every day. So as we get to a world where everything's becoming more remote, more AI driven, not forgetting that personal relationship, taking the time from a working perspective, thinking about coworkers, clients, colleagues, just taking the time to kind of appreciate that you're working with real people and the relationships there, you know, as opposed to just getting done what you need to get done for work each day. Yeah, I think that's a really cool part of what we do every day. And that gratitude for the people around you, I think, is a really important piece.
That's great. Thanks, Andy. What are one to three books that you think people should read?
So right now, I will admit that I'm about halfway through it, but I am really, really enjoying the book Traction. It's all about the EOS or Entrepreneur Operating System method. Oh yeah, perfect. You got it right there in the background. From a business perspective, that's completely transforming everything that we do. So yeah, I'm really enjoying that and starting to implement the methodology and see the changes it's making for our business.
It's great. Yeah, Gino Wickman, also Rocket Fuel is another really good one by him that kind of pairs with Traction. I listened to him speak. He spoke to Front Row Dads a couple of months ago and maybe about 2 months ago. Super powerful, man. The guy is so smart. Some of the work he's done has simplified entrepreneurship and demystified it. So great, great recommendation. Third question, what does it mean to you to be better than rich?
You know, I think it almost sounds like a cop-out because you hear it a lot, but having that flexibility to do what you want to do in a given day. I love the concept of designing your own day to be able to work and make a difference and hopefully make some money and profit off of that. But at the same time, to be able to, if it's important to you, to get your workout in or to take a break at 3 p.m. because you're going to go to an activity with your kids or something like that. Whatever it is to you to be able to take on both that working life, but also the personal life and whatever fits in to kind of craft a multidimensional person that we all are. I think to me, that's the biggest thing, is to be able to make that all fit with whatever you're doing for the actual money that's paying for all of it.
That's great. Well, Andy, I know you have a really, really awesome gift for the listener with your free digital marketing strategy session. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that is and where someone can take you up on that?
Definitely. Yeah. So I'd really encourage everybody to come out to ppcpitbulls.com. And there you'll see a button to book a free strategy session with me on the call. I think I mentioned earlier, you know, my favorite part of this job is really just diving into people's businesses, getting to hear the challenges that they're going through, what their goals are, and helping to craft a plan to see how paid ads and email can help them achieve those goals. So come on out. It's entirely free. We'll have a 30-minute strategy session, and I guarantee you'll leave with some insights that are going to be helpful for you to implement tomorrow in your business.
Well, yeah, I'm on the site. One More Sales Online. We can help. We help great people sell great products online, man. Very simple, clear messaging. I absolutely love that. So thank you for that gift. And listener, take them up. I just copy and pasted the link into Slack and sent telling someone from our team to reach out to you, Andy, to book that, because we're going to take you up on it. This is, again, relevant to us. And that's the beautiful part about the podcast world, is just collaboration and learning from one another and pairing weaknesses with other people's strengths and vice versa. So really, really cool stuff that you're doing there, Andy. Thank you. Thank you so much. Again, listener, ppcpitbulls.com for a free consultation. Listener, I just want to say thank you again for all your participation in our community and supporting the show. I've said this in the last several episodes. I'm going to say it again, my little stump speech. Everything we're doing right now is to help you have time freedom, to help you be able to buy back your time so you can spend that time on what matters most to you. So we've been going through the rebrand from Better Than Rich to Time Rich. We're still operating Better Than Rich. It's just we're creating that separate pillar called Time Rich underneath it. This is really for high-earning business owners that just want to get that time freedom so they could spend time with their family or what matters most to them. So we want to install not only systems into your business, but also boundaries in your life, communication guidelines into your life, some playbooks and team and tech, and just making sure that you have can create predictability with your business. If this is something that is of top of mind for you, I'm personally doing delegation planning sessions right now to help you figure out what the next 90 days could look like. So you can go to betterthanrich.com/90-day-plan and book that with me. Again, you'll start seeing some branding about Time Rich, but we're still using Better Than Rich umbrella, but I just don't want you to be too confused by it, the messaging there. But excited to serve you, listener. Again, Andy, thank you so much. And as always, leave today better than you found it. Till next week on the Better Than Rich Show. We'll see you then. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the show, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from us, you can follow us on Instagram @better_than_rich and join our Facebook group @the Better Than Rich Show. Thanks again for listening. We look forward to seeing you next time. And remember, leave today better than you found it.